Let's talk about spiritual extremism. The Islam 911, not the peaceful, surrendering, submissive Islam. Not the people seeking to understand God as they know Him. Not the people looking at their holy book. But the Islam 911, the extremism, the radicalization of human beings in acts of terror that must, that have to be differentiated from peaceful Islam. Out of fairness, this extremism is a spiritual extremism. And this spiritual extremism tends to come about because of centralized leadership, centralized, isolated revelation, a controlling legalism, and this is where Sharia law comes in. Factions and schisms and cults thrive because of personal revelation and control, determining what people can read, what they can see, what they can look at, they can't look at, how they can marry, how everything is, comes under the control of a centralized figure or figures. And that harsh legalism creates a climate of domination and control. Now, you mix that with a younger generation who has no purpose, has no opportunity, and is looking for significance in life. You can take a young man and you can put a machine gun in his hand and you can tell him to stand a post outside an office, and he'll do it long enough that he'll begin to see he now has influence, he now has significance, he now has power, he now has everything he's been looking for his whole entire life. And now he's a part of something. And we've appealed now to his sense of belonging, mission, and purpose in life. And he's gone from having none to being saturated with it. And now he's a part of something we call a terroristic group. And when the terroristic group begins to infiltrate the institutions of the world, and they become popular in various governmental circles, media circles, within their own circles that they create, you've taken a younger generation and you've exploited them to your end. And terrorists are not being radicalized at an older age. Terrorists are being formed and molded and sculpted at an early age with the promise. And this is what happens when you have a works righteousness, the promise of eternal life, the promise of a hero status, the promise of martyrdom, the promise of honoring your family. All these things unattainable to someone who has no promise in life. And it becomes a perfect storm to give a young person purpose and authority and create a gross imbalance. And then, the cherry on top, we're going to do it in the name of God, which can be a panacea for all kinds of behavior. It can be a cover-all rationalization for anything in the name of Allah, if it be His will. If we decide what God's will is after an event happens, the will of God no longer is a boundary before something happens. It's no longer a consideration. Therefore, we absolve ourselves of responsibility when we decapitate someone, because if the head came off, it was the will of Allah. You have the perfect making in the name of God to do all the very things that you would never think would be done in the name of any God. And it appeals to our nature. We want something to worship. We want to feel right with God. We want purpose and mission. And a terrorist group can actually provide that in ways that others are not. And it's no different than human beings. If we lack something and we need it bad enough, we will find a way to get it. Be it sexuality, inebriation, addiction. You name it, we're going to get our needs met. And if that need is deep enough, we'll go to great extremes to get them met, because we are all sinners and fall short of the glory of God. We're all capable of anything. It's fascinating, is it not?